You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
All right, how's it going, guys? It's time for a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, back in the studio, back bringing you some new, fresh content. We are talking about the MTV shows. That's what we're going to do. And helping me with that is my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How you doing, dude?
I mean, can you really call... I mean, only two of these shows are actually on broadcast television.
That's the thing now. How do you define it? We watched them on a television.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're TV shows. Though they could also be watched on tablets. Which would make
or
them,
phones.
Which could make them tablet shows.
Or on your computer.
But you can also watch things on your tablets that are from network TV. So confusing, Drew.
Why did you have to come up with a different name?
Different name. Let's call it Hot Shit.
Hot Shit?
Yeah, because that's what most of it is.
Well, I mean...
90% of what comes out... That's being generous. At least 90% of what comes out is pure hot shit.
Hot shit in a good way or hot shit in a bad way?
Oh, in a bad way. In a horrible way. We're mostly going to talk about the things that we like. It just so happens that we're pretty selective with what we watch. If we start watching a show, we get a couple episodes in, and we're not into it, we're not finishing.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
So, for the most part, we like these shows to various degrees.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember what we're missing on the list, which, you know what? We'll go ahead and start with it then.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and start with this one.
Totally forgot about that.
Totally forgot it, but it was a good one.
It was. And it was deceptively good.
And we're gonna do this by platform. So yes, Drew, not everything is on TV. Some things are on Netflix, some things are on Amazon.
And some things are on TV.
And there are shows that are on Hulu that we haven't watched.
So we don't have Hulu.
Because we don't have fucking Hulu. How many these goddamn services are we gonna get to be able to watch everything, you know? It's a pain in the ass.
It is.
It's a pain in the ass. But here we are. We're trying our best. And we're going to talk some TV, and we're going to talk some Amazon, but first we're going to talk some Netflix, and I want to start with Aziz Ansari's show, Master of None.
It was good.
It was surprisingly good.
It was funny.
Yes?
It said a lot about life nowadays, and especially relationships between dudes and chicks.
Especially people that are Aziz's age.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much
us.
Our age.
Yeah.
You know,
in our 30s.
We're talking late 20s to mid 30s.
Yeah.
Probably would that whole gap right there is probably pretty similar.
It's a strange slice of life.
Which slice of life isn't strange, dude? They're all strange in their own ways. Master of None was cool. I liked how it was structured with each episode having a specific theme.
Yes.
Or whatever. And then that's the title of the episode, and they're upfront about it, like, this episode's about the elderly people in our community,
mm-hmm.
and you know how we treat them.
Yes.
And it's some interesting stuff, some very self-reflective,
yeah,
good stuff, and funny.
Yes. Well, it's Aziz Ansari, so if you find him funny,
you're gonna like
and his sense of humor,
yeah, his style,
and you don't mind seeing what is that? Was that Tim or Eric from Tim and Eric? Which one is he?
Which one?
The big dude,
the big guy. Is that Eric? It's not Tim. It's not Tim Heidecker.
It's one of them.
It's not Tim Heidecker.
So it's the other one.
Okay.
It's strange seeing him not doing the Tim and Eric thing. Because the Tim and Eric thing is so fucking weird.
Yeah, and he's just playing a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a friend. He's a weird friend, but he's still just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a dude. He's just a really ginormous dude.
He's also only in a few episodes.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a big cast.
Well,
but
yeah,
they're
but
not in every episode.
Well, it's more reflective of real life. I mean,
I guess
there are plenty of good friends that I have that I really don't see all that often sometimes.
That's true. You've had past episodes where they featured heavily.
Yes.
But
yes.
Now you're having current episodes where maybe they might have a cameo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's true. I liked how because you know with like your things on Netflix and Amazon, you can play with the form more.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to do, like if you're on TV, you're on network TV, you know when you're writing your 30-minute sitcom.
That it has to be X amount of minutes long.
It's going to be 22 minutes because of commercials.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to minute 6, you have to wrap up what's going on and tease what's happening next because that's where the commercial break is going.
Mm-hmm.
You have to write for the commercial breaks. These shows, you don't got to do that.
Well, yeah, and it also lets them kind of play with the runtime of each episode as well.
Absolutely.
You know, it could be 40 minutes long. It could be 52 minutes long.
And his Master of None, they were ranging from, like, I felt like it was between, a lot of them was between, like, almost 30. It's a couple that got close to, like, 45.
Yeah.
40, right? But I think it looked like he shot for, like, a half hour. For each thing,
tried
but,
to,
but didn't stick with it.
Well, you,
it was whatever needed. Like,
you don't have to
to stick with the story.
No.
And then, like, format wise, there's that one episode. Oh, I should also say, probably get spoilery on some of these things.
Perhaps,
most likely. So, beware of that going forward for every show we talk about. There's that one episode where the whole thing with him, because there's that, like, it's like a 10 episode show. Is it?
Season? Yeah, 10 like
episodes,
that.
And like 4 of them are dedicated to. His relationship with this girl, Rachel.
Yes.
And there's that one that covers like over a year of their relationship. Well, like a majority, like, of it.
Well, that was the last episode, I think, or second to last.
I think it was the second to last.
But yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, 40 minutes and it did, it spanned like 2 years.
Yeah,
it
just kept jumping forward like huge amounts of time. Which you wouldn't see that on like the Big Bang Theory.
No.
You know, on like your typical sitcom. Or TV show, they wouldn't play with the story that much. They would keep it pretty conventional.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, we're just going to jump through huge amounts of time because it's my show. I'm going to do what I want.
Well, because that was the story he was trying to tell.
Yeah. And I can recommend it for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the ending is... funny.
It's a funny ending. It's a good one. It's both... It's closed in a loop, but also open-ended.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where he goes with season 2. He can pick up right where he left off. He could go somewhere completely different with it, the way the show is structured.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, genius of the show.
Good stuff.
That is good stuff. So Master of None on Netflix is good. On the other end of the spectrum, bad on Netflix, only watch the pilot, Fuller House.
I mean...
What was that all about?
The pilot episode was nostalgia.
Pure nostalgia.
It was 100% nostalgia if...
Which is, we only watched the pilot.
Well, yeah.
So what does the rest of the season have to offer then? Because all that shit's in the first episode.
Less of all of the people that we saw and more of that of DJ and her fucking kids and the Gibblers.
And her stupid kids and the goddamn Gibblers and Stephanie Tanner's tits. All right, let's talk about that for a second.
Whoa, yeah. What was with that?
Okay, so what's her name? Jody Sweetin.
Yeah.
You know, early 20s, whatever. She got some breast implants. Got herself some big olds, which is, you know... Like,
it's fine, whatever.
Good for you. Tip power, you know?
Congratulations.
Fist in the air. That's great. I love them. They're awesome. Not here to judge body thing or anything like that. That's not what this is about. It is weird, though, how they made it part of the show.
Yeah.
And her character.
Where, yeah.
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
It's a Full House sequel.
Except Jodie Sweetin's wearing very low-cut outfits.
Yeah, super low-cut.
So, like...
And DJ's baby, like, grabbed her dress, and she, like, made a joke about, oh, no, like, this Dairy Queen is closed, whatever. Like, they were making titty jokes.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a little... I was prepared for family cheesiness, which I still got.
Well, yeah, but...
But then they threw in this awkwardness. Now I gotta think about these people sexually, too.
Well, you have to realize, Chris, we're in the year 2016. Family television has come a long way since the 90s.
I guess so, but they still show reruns of Full House. It's not like they digitally put in tits in that show.
Yeah,
they watch. They show it as is.
Well, it's a sign of the times.
I guess so. It's a sign that I don't like. It's weird. I love tits.
Go figure, Chris. You don't like the times.
I love tits. It doesn't belong in that context. It is just strange and off-putting. And also, the rest of the show is fucking garbage.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it is just like the original Full House, which, exactly. If you watch it objectively, that show was...
Garbage.
Hot shit.
But I was a child, and I fucking watched it.
And like you said, it was also...
Nostalgia.
It was also a simpler time where sitcoms were run-of-the-mill and... the American public was more willing to just take garbage.
Yes.
As their entertainment.
Yes.
These days, a little more demanding of our entertainment, of our art, as we should be.
Well,
because this is all the time that we have. We're going to spend it all watching fucking Fuller House? We're not.
No.
Right?
We're going to spend any time watching Fuller House.
Just that pilot. That's one. Are we getting a three? Three?
Nope. Two, that was it.
You always got to drink on with the triples.
Three in a row.
We get those triples, man. That's like... You drink and then you get a lottery ticket.
It doesn't happen that often.
It's a lucky type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like if you find a penny head up, you gotta pick it up.
Is it a penny?
And then drink. That's the rules, right? You find a penny heads up, you pick it up, and then you go drink at the nearest bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Fuller House,
Pretty awful.
Based on, and no way it was getting any better.
No, if anything, it was getting worse.
Yeah, surely. So weird. No, don't watch that, people. 6-episode cartoon on Netflix. F is for Family.
Pretty good.
Ooh, I enjoyed it.
I like the intro. It's another good intro.
Another good intro. That it's the father character in his 20s.
Well, no, it
and
shows
then,
him
and then life hits him.
No, it shows him graduating high school.
Right.
And then boom, military. Boom.
Job.
Boom, job. Boom, wife. Boom, kids.
Pouch, receding hairline, glasses. Yep. Yeah, life hits him.
Yes.
And then he gets spit out the other end, and it's the beginning of the show.
And that's where we pick him up.
And it's your King of the Hill, Flintstones. It's a family sitcom type thing, but
it's
animated.
And a little dirty.
A little dirty because it's a Bill Burr show.
And it's animated.
It's his brainchild.
Yeah, so you can get away with it.
And it's a typical, like Bill Burr voices the dad, but it's based loosely on his dad.
Yeah.
And the kid's life is based on his life growing up, and stuff like that. So whenever you get stuff like that, there's always that bit of truth in there. You can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell, like, when they were writing these stories, like, these people know what they're talking about and how these characters really are.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
But it has a cool, it's because they're playing by their own rules.
Well, once again, it's refreshing.
It's refreshing. So it's only 6 episodes.
It's something new.
It has an overarching storyline that goes from the beginning of the episode to the end, with the dad being the union rep and the getting the job at the higher up position, position.
The episode with, what was it like? What was the name of that band? Was it like Frodo's Whisper?
Oh.
Or something weird like that? That weird progressive rock band that the kid was into was like the most insane thing ever, and I kind of want to listen to more of it.
Yeah, that was funny. And I like how the neighbor, Sam Rockwell's the neighbor, who's like the cool bachelor guy.
Yeah, he's the cool bachelor 70s dude.
Yeah.
Who does a lot of cocaine and bangs hot women.
Yeah, and has parties. And Bill Burr's dad is like, I want to be that guy. I'm so jealous. It's fun. I like it. It's good stuff.
It was.
Yeah. Only animated thing we watched recently, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, most animated stuff these days is for kids. I mean, except for your if it's for Family, your Rick and Morty's, your things of that nature.
Animation Domination.
Yeah, that stuff's fucking weird.
Major Laser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Major Laser.
Like, if it's for Family, it's like a show.
Yeah.
Major Laser's just like, smoke some weed and watch this craziness, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, all right, man.
Yeah.
You got it. You know your audience, dude. Excuse me. All right, now let's get into the Marvel portion of the Netflix shows.
Ah, yeah.
Because we got two of them.
Jessica Jones and Daredevil Season 2. All
right, so we'll start with Jessica Jones. We talked about Daredevil in our previous Talking TV bonus set. This is only the second one we've done, right, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go back and check out the last one. And it was like 4 or 5 months ago. Talk about Daredevil Season 1 then. First, let's talk about Jessica Jones, because I think that's how it goes chronologically between the two. They don't really establish, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, they could. Well, no, I mean,
because Hogarth shows up.
Well, I mean,
I was expecting her to be like all scarred.
Well, no, exactly.
From the end of.
Yeah. But she wasn't.
Am I getting my shit mixed up?
But she wasn't.
Anyway, so Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Establishing that character. Mm-hmm. It's a PI show.
Yes. PI with a guy. What, the bad guy can make anybody do anything?
Kilgrave.
Yes.
Mind control. He can mind control anyone.
Well, it's not necessarily mind control. It's people just feel the need to do what he says. That's his mutant power.
Yeah.
He said what?
Persuasion.
It's a virus, though. Like, they broke it down. Like,
yeah,
scientifically.
They found a scientific way to explain what he's doing.
Like his body, this virus comes out of him.
It emits something.
And for some reason, it makes the host, want to do what he tells people to do.
Right, and then there are certain rules to it where if you get far enough away from it,
wears off over
a certain amount of time, it wears off.
So on and so forth.
Maybe of all of, the Marvel stuff, all the movies, because the movies and their TV shows are all connected.
The Netflix series are a lot more hardcore than the movies.
They're much more hardcore. If they were put in front of the MPAA,
that Jessica Jones would be rated R just for sex alone.
Jessica Jones would be rated R for sex.
You don't even see a titty.
No.
Not a single titty, but fuck, those scenes are hot.
They have a lot of sex. There's cunnilingus going on. They're going for it. And Daredevil is so violent, it would get
incredibly
rated R
violent.
Just for the violence. So yeah. it is much more mature, adult-minded stuff, which is interesting that they went that route. I like it. I think it pays off for us because I don't have kids. I don't got to worry about the influence.
I mean, it's right up my alley. You know, I've graduated from the kiddie comic books into the adult stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We're over that shit now. So it's a PI show. It's a sexy show. It also introducing Jessica Jones.
Luke Cage.
What her deal is that she's a strength, right? It's all strength.
Yeah, she's super strong and she can jump kind of far.
Which I feel like that's from strength.
Super strength, she's got
super strong legs.
And I mean, she can...
And other people, it looks like she's flying away.
Yeah.
But she even says straight up, no, it's more like controlled falling.
Yeah.
Which is the Hulk does the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it though, right?
I mean, she's not necessarily like invulnerable, but she's, you know, she can take a hit or two or nine.
Yeah. Unless it's from like Luke Cage.
Well, no, exactly.
Then it's like down to like two or three.
Yeah.
Because he's, what's he called?
Yeah.
What's his nickname?
He's Power Man.
Power Man.
Yeah.
Did he have a thing there, like the man of a something like that? Or
I thought it was really
indestructible skin.
I thought it was really funny when Jessica Jones and Luke Cage hooked up and he was all like, I can break you. And she's like, bitch, no, you can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had superpower sex.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is what would happen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Superpower sex.
In this world, they're called metahumans, I guess. I don't know. A lot of people are using the metahuman term now.
Because they can't save you.
They're using the DC picked up the metahuman term. If they hooked up together and realized, like, what, you can do, I can do all we could do together?
Let's break this fucking building.
we could have some real fun. There are going to be casualties from our orgasms.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say Kilgrave of all... So everything's connected. Of all the movies and all the Marvel shows so far, Kilgrave has been the best villain.
Hands down.
Easily.
Well, it's just because he's so... He's a fucking psychopath.
He has zero empathy. He's a sociopath, yes.
He has zero empathy for other people.
Which was born out of his whole, like...
Well, I mean, it was...
Well, he has that crazy background, the origin story.
Well, exactly. The crazy background and the fact for that... I mean, not that... I mean, you can totally hold it against him, but he was... You know, he raised himself... The only thing he knows is people doing exactly what he says.
From when he got the powers at a pretty early
age.
And
that'll just fuck you up when you've got that kind of nonsense going on.
Yeah, and it did for him.
It makes sense that he turned into the guy he is.
And then they openly talked about it at one point.
Yeah.
He even talked about how, like, it sucks. Like, you think this, you know, you think I enjoy this, but this kind of sucks, actually.
Yeah, he's
not
like,
knowing if people are ever doing anything because they actually want to.
Or because I am telling them to.
Yeah. Which is like, yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's very complex and deep. And then it makes you look at, like, Obadiah Stane in Iron Man or the Abomination in The Incredible Hulk. And you're like, what the fuck are those guys?
Those are comic book villains.
Yeah, like, so boring. Kilgrave feels so much more complete and interesting. And even over Daredevil. We'll talk about Daredevil in a minute. But I thought it was great. And then the relationship he has with Jessica Jones and vice versa, and the whole
it's
like
fucking twisted, man. And how there's some really messed up shit going on in that show.
Yeah, she was like, "You raped me," and he was like, "No, you did it willingly." She was like, "No, you told me to do it willingly, and then I did. You raped me," and I'm like, "What? They're talking about fucking
yes." And then this not even mention Marvel show. Jessica Jones's friend is he probably even more fucked in the head.
Yeah, what's her name?
Trish.
Yeah.
With all that
her mom,
nonsense from the beginning,
from being a child star and her mom exploiting her, and. But is she, like, with all that training and stuff, I feel like she's building up to be not a superhero, but, like an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. level type thing. Is she Jessica Jones, like, sidekick?
I don't know anything about Jessica Jones.
You don't know anything? I feel like she's being built up to something.
She reminds me of Foggy. Like, Foggy is a human being.
Yeah, Foggy's a human, but Foggy, his, like, power or whatever is just being good at being a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, being a good talker. I feel like with her training and the whole thing with her, and even they had that moment where she took that serum or whatever.
Well, from the dude.
Yeah, the dude, the guy. Oh, man, what's all that all about?
What? So the dude with the doctor and the pills?
Yeah.
The crazy fucking super soldier pills?
Yeah, I thought that show was going to pay off, and it didn't, obviously, in season two stuff. But she took those pills, and she was all jacked up and beat up a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then they had to, like, and then... Sure, system couldn't take it, and she died, and brought her back. Or
well, that's, I mean,
and they even told her that's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, anyway. Because that's the way the pills work. You know, he these pills bring you up. Here's another one to make you come down, because if not, you're going to, your
die.
Brain will forget to tell yourself to breathe,
yeah,
and you'll die.
Which almost happened.
Yeah.
I felt like with that and that whole thing, we're building up to making her something.
More
than just like a foggy buddy type thing. More to the level of like a Robin.
Yeah.
Like you said, a sidekick,
mm-hmm.
right? Anyway. So yeah. That whole thing with that dude who... That was crazy how... At first, it was like he was just a cop that was being sent by Kilgrave to kill Trish.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, episodes later, he's sticking around. He's, like, a major character.
He's a major character. He's, like, some sort of crazy government super soldier program.
Yeah, what a coinky thing. Yeah. Kilgrave, you found the guy that's Jason Bourne with, you know, of this world.
Exactly.
Of some sort. So, what was... You don't know then the... The organization, any idea?
I got no clue.
It not
nope.
Wouldn't be
no nothing.
Almost said some of that's DC. See, I know even less than you do. Well, I thought it was really cool. I really liked the way it was done. I like the style.
Yeah, the style was good.
Intro's
not that great, but whatever.
I thought the intro was passable. I liked the. It was a lot of like the music was a lot like very. Like bluesy trumpets and stuff. And
yeah, well, I mean, it's a PI show.
Yeah, exactly.
It is still.
She's
I mean,
drunk
it's still
and walking
very,
around the streets of New York.
It's still
at night.
Very noir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was cool. Helps separate it from Daredevil, which is more of the like at night vigilante action show,
yeah.
You know, with ninjas and shit, right? And then Luke Cage. I think they're going for kind of predictably, but still, I don't know, I'm down with it. Like a 70s blaxploitation.
I mean, that's cool.
Like a more funkier
as
type of thing.
As long as he hooks up with fucking the Iron Fist.
Yeah, they cast some person from Game of Thrones as Iron Fist.
And then things get weird.
Yeah, they have their Iron Fist. Iron Fist is going to be introduced in that show, and then Iron Fist is getting his own series. That was announced 3 years ago.
Power Man and Iron Fist are going to have their own show together.
It's going to be more like they're doing an Iron Fist show.
Okay.
For sure. So it's going to be like Iron Fist's intro to Luke Cage. Luke Cage will feature heavily in the Iron Fist show. By then, we'll be at season 2 of Jessica Jones, maybe season 3 of Daredevil. And all that is somehow going to
connect together. Yeah.
Lead up to the Defenders, mm-hmm. where they're all going to be together. That's going to be some crazy shit.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to be the Avengers of Netflix.
Pretty much. Well, it's pretty much, I mean.
But at this point, I'm looking forward to that more.
Yeah.
Because I'm more invested in the characters of Charlie Cox, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage than I am, was ever, have been invested in Thor or Captain America. I never cared about those characters. Movie-wise, they're okay. They're passable.
Well,
I'm enjoying them.
Yeah.
Captain America is actually a more enjoyable character than I thought he would be.
I mean, I knew more about Thor only strictly because of my knowledge of Norse mythology.
More from that than even comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm... Yeah, Defenders.
I mean,
I'm like,
Iron Man. He's Iron Man is just a drunk, even more mechanical Batman,
right?
With less of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, he's just less daddy issues. He's more of just an egotist.
Yeah, exactly. He's really a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Captain America.
He's their Superman. He's a goody two shoes.
He comes from a different time, just like Superman.
Yeah.
And it's just
from the black and white 30s and 40s and 50s.
I can't relate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So
these shows feel like they're more of the time.
Yes. 100%.
And the characters are of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits more with what we know.
Even with the season 2 of Daredevil, they're staying really close to canon.
Okay,
so.
Well, let's get into that. Because we both like Jessica Jones. Definitely recommend it. Very cool. Also, Kristen Ritter. Ever since I think I first saw her on Breaking Bad, been like in love with her since day one.
Yeah.
She's mwah. Daredevil season 2.
Yes,
you're saying they're sticking close to things. What
well,
kind
yeah.
of things?
Oh,
are they
I mean
close?
The whole thing, all of the Elektra stuff in Matt's past. That's canon.
Stick sets her to find him.
Well, yeah, I mean, she. But the whole thing.
Get him to.
I don't know about the whole Stick thing. The only thing I know about Stick is I'm not sure if he ever came back or if. I know the whole thing, good versus evil, but traditionally in canon, Elektra has always been working for the bad guys.
Sure.
Like the entire time. She wasn't working for Stick.
Okay.
She was working for the bad guys the whole time, and she. she, in the beginning, she was sent to basically because Matt Murdock is the chosen one for some fucking reason.
Always. They're always chosen ones.
Yeah. So, you know, she was sent to derail him from fulfilling his destiny.
Okay. Which,
but it didn't work.
Which, of course, as we all know, that's just another step, another stone in the road to his destiny.
Exactly.
You can't change destiny, people. You're just helping it further.
Uh-huh.
So, if you believe in that kind of predestination hogwash.
Yeah. And I really like the Punisher stuff. The Punisher was a great villain slash hero slash I hope he gets his own series. And when is it coming out?
He better get his own series. Yes.
Because I wasn't...
Punisher was done well.
I wasn't sold on John Bernthal as Punisher until I watched it. And then I was like, oh, what's up, Frank? How's it going?
He's a good actor. I always knew he'd be good. But the first couple episodes with him showing up
as the Punisher, yeah.
I couldn't not. It was just happening. I was picturing Frank Grillo.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm thinking, Grillo would be killing this right now. He'd be crushing. He's so perfect. Just had to settle for fucking
Crossbones.
Purge 3 and Crossbones. His face is all fucked up, and it's not the same. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, he was good. Very interesting treatment of the character. Different origin than that Punisher origins that we talked about on your comic book episode a while ago.
The Punisher's been around for a while.
He has a long history.
Yeah.
He's been around since the '60s, at least.
Exactly. I mean, if he was in real life, he would be, you know, an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, it couldn't be a Vietnam-based story.
No,
exactly.
Exactly.
It would have to be Iraq, Afghanistan.
Exactly. So they had to update it, and I get it. It's cool. But they did stay true to the most part of
his family being killed in front of him?
Well, no. And him wiping out an entire platoon with nothing, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. He mentions that.
How. Yeah. Well, because that comes from Punisher Born, except it was in Vietnam. And he killed an entire Viet Cong platoon with a shovel.
Yes. They don't go into any of those details.
No, but
they
just
say that he went into an area to be the distraction or whatever.
And ended up killing all of them.
Every single person there.
Yes. Yeah. So that was pretty much...
Ultimate killing machine.
Yeah, that was the birth of the Punisher.
Which is cool.
He just sacrificed, that's all.
That's all. Well, he did, but he had to see.
Well, no. The voice in his head told him what was going to happen.
Oh, did it?
Yep, he said there was going to be a price to pay. He was willing to pay it.
That's in the comic book.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in the show. Okay. Maybe he'll reveal that later.
Perhaps.
I liked it. I liked introducing the Punisher and then having him. There's that episode where he had Daredevil chained to the roof, and they just spent the whole episode up
talking.
There. Debating their different approaches to fighting crime. You know, it reminds me of, actually, yeah, I read those debates before because I got the Batman. I have a two-issue Batman Punisher crossover where they have the same debates.
No, exactly.
Punisher's like, how many times are you going to let the Joker lock him up just so he can get out again?
Just put a fucking bullet in his head already.
Just let me shoot him now and we're good.
Then it's over.
And then Batman tells the Joker, like, run away. He lets him get away.
Yeah.
And then Punisher punches Batman and Batman's like, I'll let you have that one. And then Punisher tries to punch him again and Batman easily blocks it and then throws him to a bunch of boxes. I said one. It's pretty awesome. And then Punisher's like, that freak deserved that. You should read that. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was done well. I think in this series, in this season especially, Daredevil became the least interesting character on his own show.
Yeah, I mean,
I was more interested in Punisher and Elektra.
I've never been a fan of Elektra.
Never?
No.
I never had an opinion of Elektra. I mean, other than the fucking, you know, the Jennifer Garner, the movie, and the Daredevil movie. Yeah, fuck that shit. That doesn't matter. I never read any of that shit.
No.
So when she popped up, I was like, ooh, Saucy Vixen.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a badass
fighter
who also has no compunction with killing someone instantly and enjoying it.
Yeah.
And being open about...
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a part where... Okay, we gotta talk about this. So, it's like halfway through, almost like three quarters of the way through. Daredevil, he's got Elektra in his bed. She's injured and she's healing. And he's like, listen, you know, forget stick. Forget this war thing. Just run away with me.
It's you and me.
It's you and me. Let's do this. I know you've betrayed me in the past. We're gonna forget all that. And she's like, really? You really take me for who I am? He's like, yes, absolutely. 5 minutes later,
slits some dude's throat.
Yeah, because he gets ambushed by a ninja. And she comes in, slits a guy's throat right in front of him, blood spraying everywhere. And then she's standing there with blood on her. And he's like, and she literally is like, So do you still want to be with me?
Yeah.
And Matt's like, and I'm just like, typical dude. Making all
I want to be with you forever, no matter what. No matter I don't know about this anymore.
No, man, you know she was slitting throats. It's not like you found out that she was dirty.
Yeah, no,
She leaves dirty clothes on the floor.
Yeah.
She's a murderer. That was hysterical. I'll take it back. Daredevil's not the least interesting character in the show because pretty much whenever they cut to any of the Karen Page stuff.
I really don't
care about her burgeoning career as a journalist.
For some reason, I didn't mind her in the first season. Maybe because she wasn't featured so heavily.
Maybe because...
But there were, like, entire storylines that were, like, we were following her.
Yeah, I think it's because it felt more... In the first season, what she was doing led more to the overall... It led more directly to what Daredevil and Matt Murdock was going on with...
Yeah.
What, Nelson and Murdock, the law firm. And this one, it's like... Now she's got a job at a newspaper, and she's interviewing people.
Well,
and
first she got all fucking... crazy friendly with the Punisher during the fucking the People versus Frank Castle.
Okay, the People versus Frank Castle is probably the best part of that whole show. That three episodes, I was like, this is amazing.
Law and Order, Marvel.
Where's Jack McCoy to be like, put a needle on this guy's arm. Who does he think he is? Some sort of Punisher? That was great.
And how about the last episode where everyone finally, all of a sudden...
They reach your final forms?
The collective conscious awoke and everyone started calling Matt Murdock Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. What? Why? They even made a point like two episodes before that. Someone was like... They call it the Devil of Hell's Kitchen. He's like, I didn't pick the name. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's still what he's known as. Yeah. The Devil of Hell's Kitchen. He's more known as the Devil than Daredevil. Then at one point, the Japanese dude just calls him Daredevil. I'm like, wait a second. Did someone else? Where did he get that name from?
Like I said, the collective unconscious.
And then a few scenes later, Matt Murdock's like, he's like, I'm Daredevil. I'm Daredevil. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like, by the way, he's Daredevil. It's like, what?
I hate those little leaps where, you know, they work so hard to explain so many things. Like with Jessica Jones. They went out of their way to explain. I would have been fine with Kilgrave telepathically control people. That would have been enough. One sentence.
Yes, but no.
And it goes to this whole virus thing and all this shit. I'm like, okay, fine. You want to explain it. But then it's like they don't even bother showing us where the Daredevil comes from. All of a sudden, he's just Daredevil.
Yep.
Did someone see him, like, jump a bike from one building to another? Like, look at that Evel Knievel-looking motherfucker.
I'm just glad that in this show, he's not putting flaming double Ds all over everything.
You know, they have the flaming double Ds on the poster that they put out for this season too, to tease it.
I'm really glad that they haven't done that yet, because it's really
I guess it's coming. The flaming double D's. That sounds like one you go down to Gringo's Locos and put too much hot sauce in your taco.
That has never been. I mean, it looks cool in comic book form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've got a panel and you've got these D's. And then you see it in real life, and I'm a fucking pyromaniac, man. I love fire. And even I am just like, that looks stupid.
I would like just to see, before the double Ds flame up, I would like the scene of him.
Watch a blind Matt Murdock making two Ds with fucking kerosene.
Yes. I want that. I want that so bad. I want it so bad, and they're not going to give it to you. It's part of the problem. Where did the name Daredevil come from? I don't know. How does he do the Ds? Who cares? How did Punisher make such a perfect skull on his fucking vest with just a can of spray paint on a contoured vest? Perfect skull.
Yep.
That looks like my x-ray.
Yep.
Dude, that annoyed me. That really annoyed me. I was like, I want to know. I want a good explanation.
He went Super Saiyan, though.
They're going so hard on trying to explain so much stuff and trying to make it not necessarily real, but believable. Like, I'm like, does he go to a Kinko's or like, does he go to a t-shirt print shop? It's like, I really need a skull shirt. You know?
I need like 50 of them.
I need like 90.
Because seriously, I'm going to use one a day and it's going to be covered in bullet holes by the time I'm
done. Yeah, I need it to be able to fit over my bulletproof vest. Don't worry about it. Just do it. No, he just goes, like, he goes to his old house and then goes to the shed in the back, plops his vest down on the bench.
Looks at his thing, spray paint.
Yeah.
That's good.
He looks up, he ruffles around. Oh, white spray paint. Perfect. What if he found a pink can?
Well, then he would have had pink skull in his chest.
Would have been good for breast cancer awareness month.
Yes, it would.
That's a very socially conscientious Punisher. Yeah, that was ridiculous. But it's still pretty good. And probably my favorite moment of the show, or my favorite part of the show, is when Wilson Fisk came back.
Yes, in prison.
Yes, he was.
Now he's running the prison, basically.
Yeah, we got like a 3-episode Wilson Fisk arc that then led to how Punisher gets out and all that stuff. Because I was even thinking halfway through the show, I was like, man.
I want some Vinny D.
Yeah. I was like, you know, the Punisher's cool, but we know he's not the ultimate bad guy. And they keep talking about this secret war with the
Black Sky.
The Hand.
Yes, the Hand in the Black Sky.
The Hand in the Black Sky, which is where the Foot comes from. The Foot Clan comes from in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was a parody of that. And it's so... At that point, the main bad guy was so kind of amorphous. It's like Daredevil's trying to stop Punisher, but we know ultimately where that's going to lead. And then we're given at halfway through the show, we're given very little information about the secret war, and now that comes in the last few episodes, like literally like the last 2 episodes, right? It all coalesces.
Yep.
So for the longest time, like the show has no real villain or story.
Well, Punisher was the villain. You weren't supposed to know that he becomes a good guy.
But we know because we've seen shows. We know who the Punisher is. we have eyes and ears. We're not dumb.
Uh-huh.
So then when Wilson Fisk popped up and gave the show a little more focus, I was like, oh, this feels good. This feels right. I enjoyed it. What's in that thing? Oh, they put Elektra in that thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's going to come out like a monster?
No, but she's going to come back to life.
That's right, because she died.
Yeah.
But she's coming back to life.
Yeah.
Because comics.
Exactly. Well, there's... Somehow, these motherfuckers have figured out how to keep bringing motherfuckers back.
Right, because the Asian dude was burnt to death in the first season, came back in the second one.
Unless you chop off their head Highlander style. Apparently they can't come back from that.
That was pretty sweet.
I was really hoping for a quickening. Yeah, I wanted a quickening real quick.
All of a sudden he's on top of a mountain.
Ah, I mean, come on, old white guy holding a fucking Japanese sword. That's totally Highlander.
It's like, I just killed a Spanish pirate Sean Connery.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to mention in the Daredevil season 2. Anything? It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It definitely picked up.
Yes.
The Punisher stuff in the beginning was cool. And the trial in the middle was cool, and then it picked up towards the
end. And the fight scenes this season were fucking off the chain.
Yeah, they're good. They got some good fight scenes in there for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Some nice, all like good, like close combat stuff and like in tight spaces, down stairwells and hallways. And
Yeah,
for sure. It definitely has a style that's.
I mean, it had that stairwell scene reminded me of The Raid. Except he was going downstairs as opposed to up there.
Sure, yeah. And they did it in a fake one-shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I like that scene, I like the fighting, but it was distractingly fake how they were stitching together every 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't even, like, stitching together 2 scenes. They stitched, like, every time he passed in front of the camera made a weird move, and he focused on his back, and then all, you know, it's like, guys, this is...
We know what's going on here.
We know. If you don't want to take the time, just watch an episode of Better Call Saul, which we'll talk about that in the next Talking TV. Just watch an episode of Better Call Saul where it opened with like a 4-minute tracking shot that started on a highway that followed a truck through a parking lot, went into an open building, into the back of the building, and it's going all the way around. It's like...
One shot.
One shot, guys. Ugh. Throw in some punches and kicks. It's not that hard to throw in the punches and kicks.
This is how it's done.
You know, seriously, you know what it is? The Protector. Tom Yong-Goon, Tony Jaa. There's a scene where he goes up 4 flights in a club.
Yes.
And it takes, it's like a 5-minute one shot. And he beats up like 50 dudes.
It's pretty awesome.
So, bar's been set, guys. Mm-hmm. And you did not meet it. Still pretty cool. Fighting was definitely cool.
It was good this season.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. All right, so Netflix done. Let's get into some Amazon. Man in the High Castle.
The High Man in the Castle?
The High Man in the Low Castle. I got high men and low castles.
I'm still not exactly 100% positive as to what may or may not be going on in this show.
Oh, sure. Yes. I agree.
I mean...
There's definitely a level of ambiguity there that's meant... I think it's meant to be that way to draw you in for a season 2.
And I was about to say, especially at the end with, you know...
The reveal of who the man in the high castle is.
Well... I always knew who the man in the high castle was.
Did you?
Deep down inside, yes.
I did not suspect. And guys, like I said, spoilers. As long as spoilers.
I did. It's Hitler.
I did not suspect Hitler.
Yes, I did. I suspected Hitler.
I did not.
The whole time.
I did not suspect Hitler was the man in the High Castle. I thought it was a legit, like, resistance dude.
Yeah, well.
With some sort of magical look into another dimension in which the Allies win World War II.
Well, no, exactly. And that's just it. Like, this whole, I mean, especially even with the Japanese guy. Like, he's doing his meditation like he always does.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen him do throughout, you know, the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, all of a sudden, he's standing there and he is in our dimension.
I don't remember that.
In our time.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
He phases in and then comes back.
And then he comes back.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
There is some sort of alternate dimension, maybe time travel nonsense going on in the show.
So,
that we don't know necessarily anything about yet.
So the majority of the East Coast is Nazi town. Yes. The West Coast is New Japan. Mm-hmm. And then there's a sliver in throughout the desert in the Midwest that's the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And the relationship between the Germans and the Japanese are breaking
it's
down.
Shaky.
It's shaky.
And it always, I mean, in all reality, if
that kind of arrangement,
if this is the way it would have happened, totally.
It was only it would have always been a matter of time before Germany was like, well, we're taking you guys over too,
exactly,
because we have more military might, and the Japanese knew it.
Yeah,
it was more to their benefit to have a truce than the Germans. So they're worried about, you know, a new war breaking out between the two of them that'll wipe out Japan. Meanwhile, there are in North America, so there's a resistance.
Yes.
And they're trying to resist both Imperials in the West.
Yep.
And the Nazis in the East.
And everyone's searching for these film canisters.
The films, that's the MacGuffin of the season, are these films that show, it's footage from World War II that we, as we know it.
Yes.
Right? That Some shows us winning.
Yes.
But then they saw a film that was us not winning, wasn't it? Didn't they see another film?
Yeah.
That was like, that made them all cry. Like, this is not what we expected it to be.
Exactly.
And then the big reveal at the end is Hitler has all these films. He's the man in the High Castle. He's got all, yeah. And he has,
not only does
he has a wall of films.
Yeah, not only does he have the Nazis searching for these things, but he has also somehow convinced the resistance that these movies are important.
Yeah, they're important. They're going to change
everything. Well, and for probably good reason, because, I mean, these films are probably somehow coming through like a wormhole or
something, some sort of nonsense. Where are they coming from?
I mean, and exactly. There are a lot more questions asked than answers given in this first season.
Yeah, by the end.
It reminded me of Carnival, where I thought, like, I learned a couple things, and I'm like, ooh, I think I know what's going on. And then at the end of the episode, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
What does any of this mean? I think it's telling, very telling, that we're talking about Man in High Castle, and we're talking about the plot mechanics and the MacGuffin and the mystery. Who gives a fuck about any of the characters? The only character I care about even remotely in any way, and it only happened towards the end, is the Nazi guy who lives in America, found out his kid is sick. And under Nazi law,
he has to kill him.
You gotta put down all the weak and the sick and the infirm.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that sucks, you Nazi asshole. Mm-hmm. That now, you know, you're being bitten in the ass by the dog that you raised.
Yeah.
But I didn't care about it. I didn't care about the Joe, the American, who turned out to be a traitor or whatever. I didn't care about the girl.
I kind of cared about the girl's boyfriend.
The dude with the glasses.
The Jew.
He's okay. That is a, yes.
The West Coast Jew. He has gotten screwed over.
He did get screwed over.
So many times.
Yeah. I do feel a little bit for that guy.
And DJ Qualls,
I just like thinking every time. Every time DJ Qualls, it should freeze frame and look like
DJ Qualls.
Like Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
No, Kung Fu, where it's like crazy editing and pew, 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 yep. Like triple frame. Pew, pew, pew. You know, like stars,
an air horn goes.
Yeah. It would've been awesome. And then just resume back into the show. It's like, oh, so weird. So Japan is our bosses, though. And being a Jewish guy, obviously, in a country that is partly run by Nazis, is, you know, compelling. Absolutely. But all the other characters, I ain't really.
Yeah.
Just like, I just don't know about these films, man.
Yeah, man.
And the world in general. I'm more interested in the world that they built than the people that are living in it.
Yeah.
Japanese guy was okay. Japanese guy was okay, but I only felt that because I love that actor.
Yeah, the tribute, he's awesome.
Yeah. That guy's great.
He's in a lot of good stuff.
He pops up often. Even in bad stuff, he's great. Yeah. Like, he's in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, he's... Oh, God, yeah, he is.
But,
He's the bad guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. So that was that, Man in High Castle. It's okay. I'll definitely watch season two to get my
answers. I need to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, exactly. In the show. I almost, because it's all based on a book series, I've almost gone online and Wikipedia the book series to read the plot synopsis and just get my answers that way. Yeah. But I'll wait for season two.
I might as well.
Also on Amazon, and if you haven't seen this show, you gotta watch this show, Mad Dogs.
It seems like just when you think these guys are finally on the right path.
Just when you think they're
holy fuck.
Just when you finally think they're getting unfucked.
Yeah, then you end up realizing they're just fucking themselves more and getting fucked even more.
Yeah, they're getting double fucked.
I mean, in the first episode, you see that crazy montage of them running towards you. Like, yeah, crazy, like, war paint and all this nonsense.
Yeah, the opening shot.
And you said, man, that's probably the end of the series.
Yeah.
Right there. That's probably the last episode. I wonder how we got there.
Yeah,
that scene was like episode 4.
Yeah. I know, like six more episodes ago. I was like, what? I have no idea what's going to happen next.
No clue at all.
That's the fun of that show. It's so
twisty and turny.
Yeah,
and
the story is so unconventional.
Yeah.
That I can't even think of.
But it, I mean, it really rings true. I mean,
well, the decisions that everyone makes along the way.
The decisions that everyone makes along the way and the group dynamic that they have.
Yes. Yes, these friends that were some people, there's like four friends where some of them are closer to others.
There were five guys. Obviously, they were all friends in college.
Well, the fifth one is Billy Zane.
And during their formative years.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was probably, I would say probably a decade where they were all hanging out. And then, you know, people grow up, they part ways.
Yeah. And some were closer to others.
Exactly. And then they all come back together. And Billy Zane gets his head blown off.
Billy Zane is a rich dude now in Belize.
Yes.
And he invites his four friends to come visit him. And the end of the first episode, Billy Zane gets killed because he's into some shit.
Yes.
And his four friends are just like fucked because they're just literally
wrong place all the time. Because now they're in the shit.
They get wrapped up in it. And when they try their best to fix things, they just make it worse and worse and worse. So awesome. I was so compelled by that show.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
The dude in the cat mask is awesome.
Dude in the cat mask is great.
That little man, he's so awesome.
I made him my Facebook
nice. Profile
pic. Because I was like, this guy is great. He wears a grumpy cat mask and shoots people.
In the face.
In the fucking
with
face.
With a silenced pistol.
And he's also like 3.5 feet tall.
I know, which is even better.
He's like one of the most menacing
dudes.
And he's
so scary.
Even with the mask off, you're like, I ain't fucking with that guy.
No way.
He looks mean. He has a family member. Yeah, that show is super cool, and there won't be a season two.
No need for it.
There isn't. It does end in a way where they could continue at least part of a story. They could.
Why? But why push it?
Yeah, why push it? You understand what happened. No need for a second season, which is why there isn't one, because Amazon did go to the creators of the show, the writers, and were like, we would like a second season. Could it be about this? And the creators were like, we're not feeling that. We would do a second season with you guys, but it's got to be about this. And Amazon was like,
no.
We don't want to give you any money to do that.
Okay, there you go.
And they're like, oh, you know what? Done with peace, guys. It was cool. We had a lot of fun. Thanks for working with us.
I mean, it was a good show to watch.
It was a good show. I super recommend it.
Yeah.
I think pretty much of almost everything we're talking about today, maybe my favorite of all the shows. It's up there. Top three for sure.
Yeah, it's good.
Top three. Because the next two shows we're going to talk about, if there are any shows I like more than Mad Dogs, it's the next two that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're switching to television.
Yes.
We're switching to cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we're switching to FX specifically.
Yeah, actually, now that you say it, yes, we are.
Yeah, because
one channel.
Because we're not doing Better Call Saul this episode. That's
it's AMC, not over.
And because it's not over, and not watching anything else right now.
No, I mean, the only thing on HBO is John Oliver, but that's not something.
Yeah, that's not a. Yeah,
that's current events.
That's a different thing. Fargo season 2.
What the fuck was up with those aliens?
They never
even addressed it.
They were just there.
Yeah.
Which, Noah Hawley, who's the creator of the show, he's been doing this since episode 1 of season 1. While the whole show is based on Fargo, he's been doing Easter eggs and shout-outs to all the Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah.
Like, in the very first episode, there's a poster on a wall for a White Russian drink. Big Lebowski, mm-hmm. right? So, and then I feel like there's even scenes and moments and episodes where he's even going for different styles and moments of different shows, right? So the whole alien thing, I feel like he's pulling that from The Man Who Wasn't There. Mm-hmm. Because there's a whole alien subplot to that, where there's flying saucers subliminally throughout the movie. And then at the very end, Ed Crane, Billy Bob Thornton, he has a kind of a vision type thing where he sees a flying saucer and then it flies away and he goes, huh. And then he walks back inside Death Row to feed himself. So I think it's kind of like that where it's just like the aliens are just there and they're affecting the story.
Yeah.
But no one's going to talk about it.
Talk about it or
address
it at all so whatsoever.
So weird. Also, I feel like with this season, they were shouting out to or doing a callback to No Country for Old Men, in which the most violent shit happens like in the penultimate scenes.
Yeah.
And then the final scenes in a movie are characters like having quiet conversations with each other and just espousing on themes. That last episode, like all the crazy shit happened in the second to last one. The shootout at the motel.
Yeah.
And then the Indian guy going off to find Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst. Who, uh-huh. I don't even like Kirsten Dunst in those shit.
No, she was good in this.
She was really good in this. Yeah. I really liked her. And like all that stuff happened. And then the last episode was like him meeting with the guy. Be like, I'm going to change my name and just move somewhere else. And
talk it.
And you know, just get out of here. And like the Luke Wilson, the cop, whatever his name is. Like he's just sitting with his sick wife and his father-in-law.
Yep.
And they're just talking and... like, oh, this is a very low-key, quiet way to go out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was very No Country for Old Men.
Very much so.
Tommy Lee Jones telling his story. But it was good.
Telling the story. The entire movie was about Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, it was. Nobody fucking understood.
I meant to tell the truth. But yeah, it's a good show, man. It was really, it's like, oh, that Indian guy was...
he was awesome.
He was a badass.
He was a bad motherfucker. And seriously, I liked his character arcs, too.
Yeah.
Like, the choices that he made and some of the things he did were, like, totally what I was like...
yeah.
Really?
And then the way... when then the voiceover kicks in towards the end and it, talking about, like, when people look back on this case, you know, they think it might have been this moment where he decided to betray everyone, blah, blah. And I was like, man, he really put a lot of thought into this character and his motivations and how he's going to affect the story of these...
everything else, yeah.
The mafia families going to Kansas City versus... they weren't in Fargo. Where were they?
Somewhere in North Dakota.
Were they in Fargo? No. Because that's the thing. Like, the Fargo, the movie, doesn't take place in Fargo.
Yeah.
The first season of Fargo didn't take place in Fargo.
It could have been in Minneapolis, maybe. Well, no, because they were out in the sticks somewhere.
Yeah, they were in the sticks. Yeah. The farm. They had a farm and everything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, details. This guy, you know, I really doubted the idea of a Fargo TV show when I heard about it, but this Noah Hawley guy is really good.
He's killing it.
Yeah. He's got good people working on it. They write compelling stories, good characters.
Yep.
The part where the guy, the uncle, takes his niece out after he finds out that she's been dicking over the family and talking to the Kansas City people, Bokeem Woodbine and all them.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks her out into the middle of the woods to kill her. That felt totally like Miller's Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Gabriel Byrne and John Turturro. I was like, that's that right there. Like, the show is full of shit like that, for sure. But it was good. I really liked it.
So did I. I mean, it's Fargo. It lives to its namesake.
Surprisingly. So, I don't think they've announced a season 3 yet. So...
I mean, if they do, awesome. If not, so be it.
Yeah, if not, actually, I would kind of like to see this guy...
I mean, I would
rather... I'd like to see this guy do something where he doesn't have to rely on the Fargo music and the, you know, come up with his own thing, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What if he comes up with his own thing and it still feels like...
Fargo.
Or, yeah, like Coven's.
Yeah, maybe...
like, obviously, these are his favorite filmmakers, and he just wants... and I'm fine with that.
He just has to emulate them.
I'll watch some Coen Brothers light stuff. Breaking Bad was described as a TV show if it was done by the Coen Brothers for a while. Especially in the beginning.
Because
the first season was quirkier than the rest.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about that People versus OJ.
Almost as compelling as the actual trial, Chris.
Oh my god, dude.
Choose a side.
So good.
Courtney B. Vance slaughtered the role of Johnny Cochran.
I think
as far as I'm concerned, he is Johnny Cochran now.
I think they all did. I think he was amazing, and his Johnny Cochran was great. Obviously, it's a great character and very compelling. Yeah. Sarah Paulson as Marsha Clark.
She was good.
I mean, so compelling. And also, weirdly, this is weird. Never thought Marcia Clark was attractive. Never thought Sarah Paulson was attractive.
For some reason, Sarah Paulson as Marcia Clark, Chris is like, hey.
I don't know why. I don't know. It's strange. I'm just being honest, though.
Yeah.
Full transparency. It was great. Cuba. Although, he really wasn't doing an OJ.
No, he was...
He wasn't talking like him. He wasn't acting like him. He was doing his own thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Travolta was definitely doing the Bob Shapiro thing.
Right. Squinty. Yeah. And I thought he was fucking fantastic.
It was so funny to watch.
Yeah. So interesting to watch. Yeah. All the tics he does and everything. It's like, man, this guy is... he's really diving into this. Who else? Nathan Lane as F. Lee Bailey. When he took Johnny Cochran to South Carolina... He's like, look at that statue behind you. Where do you think you are?
Dude, come on.
Let me talk to the judge. And then he has that long soliloquy.
Yep.
And the camera's panning around slowly. And then the camera pans around to reveal Johnny Cochran looking at F. Lee Bailey like, motherfucker. Like, this is amazing. How is he just pulling the southern gentlemanly shit out of his drunk ass?
Yes. And it worked well.
It did work. Yeah. Well, the guy was a very successful lawyer for a very long time before being disbarred in terms of... Yeah, everyone was great. The guy who played Chris Darden.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Even Jujito.
He was almost... He almost looked just like Jujito. He does. It's so weird.
Saw a side-by-side today. Yeah. I was like, man.
Really?
It's like, man, this...
So close.
This Korean motherfucker looks just like that Japanese guy. There must have been makeup involved in some way. Must have been. Obviously. Compelling. So good.
Just as compelling as the actual trial was.
I couldn't stop watching the show. I'm so sad that it's over.
Well,
I mean, it had to end.
Had to end, yes.
And also, it makes an interesting argument sort of for, like, spoilers don't matter.
Well, I mean, you knew what was happening.
And somehow that gave everything more weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a United 93 type of thing. Where Titanic, you know, the boat's going to sink. So when these people are talking, oh, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. Like, oh, that's a doomed romance right there. So when Marcia Clark and Chris Darden are like, we might actually win this one.
We're like,
and
you're not.
And Marcia smiles. You can tell she doesn't want to let herself smile, but she does. And I was like, oh, poor lady. you had such an uphill battle. So much incompetence with LAPD. And like Judge Ito didn't do that good of a job. Like he fucked some shit up. And the crazy jury and all that stuff.
Oh, that jury nonsense, that was odd.
It was nonsense, fucking juries. What a racket. That moment where the dude, that one guy, that one black dude, when the jury's leaving after the final verdict.
Puts his fist up.
That happened.
That is so fucking scary.
That's insane.
Seriously?
That's how manipulative.
Immediately, if I had been Judge Ito, immediately I would have been like, mistrial.
I don't think it would have been possible.
Seriously, you can't.
It wouldn't have been possible.
No, that's not the way it works, bro.
And then I don't think you can file like appeals and stuff on criminal cases where it's like when you get not guilty verdict.
With stuff like that, though, there has to be some sort of recourse.
I don't think there is.
There has to be.
It's just like cat's out of the bag now. Nothing you can do about it. It worked. All that race stuff. Worked. Obviously, it worked. We know it worked. Not guilty. Jury loaded.
I mean,
it was like nine black people, I think.
Not that it changed.
Eight or nine.
Not that it changed anything.
What? Oh, the... You know, it depends. It's things like that are incremental.
I mean, it probably helped out in LA a little bit. But
it helped open the conversation. I think that may have led to... That may have led to Bill Bratton... becoming the commissioner of the LAPD and cleaning shit up over there a little bit. And then he since has gone to New York to NYPD and he's cleaned some shit up over there too. He's a hard ass because he's a fucking, you know, top cop type dude, but he is trying to like run a good police department and he's doing it with the biggest PDs in the country. But it was like, oh, I wanted more. I wanted so much more. I want it to be a 20, I want it to be a 30 episode. I want it to be 16 months long like the trial.
Oh, no way.
I could have watched that every week. Recreations of the trench.
Of each day.
Yeah, dude. Like, because they had to compress so much stuff, obviously. The final statements that they gave, Marcia Clark's And, and the way they did it, it seemed like this is the whole statement.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Obviously, we knew it wasn't. Marsha Clark was like 5 minutes. Chris Darden, 3 minutes. Johnny Cochran, 3 minutes.
Yeah, and those were like half-hour-long speeches.
No, no. Johnny Cochran, his closing statement, 6.5 hours.
God damn.
6.5 hours. And he said, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit. He said it once in that 6.5 hours. That's how powerful that line was.
As opposed to
the repetition thing he did at the end where he said it over and over and over. Yeah, that did not happen that way. Also, he did not write that line. Cochran has been open about how it was one of the other lawyers. Not even one of the famous ones.
So good.
Some other random lawyer.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that guy, the dude with the mustache. Maybe that guy came up with the line. But for every little thing that they changed like that, like so many more things were true.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do was to watch the episode, then go to Google.
Fact check it.
People vs. OJ, episode 8, fact check. You get 5 different articles from Vulture, The Wrap, Hollywood Reporter, Complex, everyone was putting out fact check articles, and they were all checking different things.
Yeah.
So it was like, you read one article, it's like, here's 5 facts that are true or false. You read another article, here's 5 totally other different things. Yeah. Fact check. It's almost like they coordinated. How do they do this? This is amazing. It was so good.
It was.
It was so good.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it very much.
It was like Law & Order Celebrity.
Yeah, it was. And I read online today some news about season 2 of American Crime Story.
What's it going to be? Which case?
Haha. Which case, you ask? No case. No case. They are expanding the definition of crime to include more than just a murder case.
Okay.
When they explore, quote, American crime, they really want to open up the scope.
Okay.
Okay. Season 2 is going to be about Hurricane Katrina.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of crime going down.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be about when it first hit, all the shit that went wrong, why did the levees break, how did people end up in the Superdome without proper, you know, care or facilities or anything? How did all that shit go so bad?
Interesting.
That's season 2. Also, because it is a Hurricane Katrina story, and they said they're just breaking the story now, so they don't know all the specifics. They just know generally what they're going to do. No real life people will be used, so they'll be making up characters. I hope they do the American Horror Story route, where they bring back actors.
Yeah.
Travolta already said he wants to come back.
That'd be fun.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. said he wants to work with Ryan Murphy again.
Yeah, there we go.
So
yeah, maybe they could be just random people in the story that they're telling.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to be like, it's going to be like 6 to 8 characters that we're going to follow, and they're going to cover, by following these all these characters, we're going to cover a whole bunch of different aspects of the beginning and the majority of Hurricane Katrina and how all that shit went bad.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's 2 years from now? 2 years away, probably?
That's a long time.
Yeah, by the time it comes up.
Maybe winter will finally be here then. By then.
So yeah, next talking TV we do, maybe winter will be here. We'll find out, because we'll do season 6 of Game of Thrones. We're gonna talk about that.
We gotta watch the House of Cards, man.
We're gonna watch House of Cards. We're gonna Better Call Saul will be way done by then, so we'll talk about season 2 of that. What else is there on the horizon? Preacher on AMC.
Oh yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, so that for sure we'll be gonna watch that and talk about that. I mean, I'm assuming it's gonna be good. If we get like 3 episodes and it sucks,
then we won't talk about it.
But I'm assuming it's gonna be good. So that's what's gonna be on the horizon for next talking TV.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. We'll talk about a lot of shit here. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We're done.
Television.
Thank you, Drew. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419 all over the interwebs.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and the show at Crespodiso. Email us cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. If you got opinions about any of the shows that we talked about today, email us cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com, and we will read them on episode 173. No, 170. I changed my calendar and I fucked myself up. 170 this weekend. You guys, it's going to be dope. All right, so we are out of here. Thank you very much.